FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's 2/20/18. So you saw tremendous volatility over the past week. Now it's calmed down. The VIX is settling down to just around 20. Well, someone who called it extremely well back on December 13th of last year is back with us. Always be part of the show. Email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. So Dr. Charles Nenner is with us. And Charles, it's great to have you back on the show. And I'm still amazed at that call. What is happening here?
Well, you know, we work with cycles and price targets. And simply, the cycle was down for the whole 2017. And then finally, I said, now we're going to buy the VIX, which you did around 9. We sold it about 50. And the cycle low was in January. So it was very simple. So now tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, there's a new cycle low. So we could see some upside action again on the VIX and some wild swings in the market.
What do you think the cycle low is going to be? In the cycle, this is like a couple month cycle. How long a cycle is it?
This is a cycle for the whole of 2018. We're going to continue to be very volatile for a long time.
Uh-huh. So is the VIX a buy at 20, or you think it's going to go a lot higher than that?
Well, usually I don't like to be in the middle. I like to say when the bottom at the highest, because if I go in the middle, then, you know, it's already a bit late. And sometimes people buy 20 and the price goes down. So they can watch our research that we give out for free for a long period. I just like to buy the bottoms and sell the tops and not say something in the middle.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the next couple of days, though, you think cycle low, huh?
Correct.
Interesting. Well, so precious metals, I looked at your latest newsletter, said that it's on a sell signal if it went below 1334, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, on the gold, and the cycle is down again. We're setting up for a nice bull market after the summer, but for the moment, it's going to hang around. And now it's going to be under pressure, especially because the dollar is going to make a bounce over here. There was a buy signal from 1272, and now it's going to be canceled if we get below 1334. I told people I don't like to be long because the cycle doesn't look that good.
Not that strong. And silver is definitely in a down cycle, huh?
Yeah.
Is it going to, your research saying whether it's going to follow gold after the summer, find its footing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the dollar, so we're getting a bounce in the dollar. It's heading back up to around 90 on the index.
The dollar bear market is almost over. The big cycles that brought the dollar index down from 103 to 89, we closed the short positions here. And in a couple of weeks, we expect this could be only a bounce, but we expect to see a nice tradable low in the dollar soon.
Yeah. So tradable, just define for us, if you will. And by the way, you're listening to Charles Nenner, renowned cycle forecaster, and get the free trial subscription over at charlesnenner.com. So Dr. Nenner, like, we're looking at what a tradable low is in your definition.
Well, tradable low means that the dollar could go to new highs. That means above 103.
Mm-hmm. So a tradable low is that point where it hits the bottom and then it's going to reverse course, I guess, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you know, like, how do you know when you're getting to a tradable low?
How do you know? Well, you look at the price targets and you look at your cycle low, and the cycles that topped on 103 are bottoming in April. So it's not so complicated. You cover the shorts and then you just wait for the cycle low and for the breakout, and then you go long the dollar.
Right. And I was watching your calls on natural gas, and you've been like uncannily correct there. You know, it's been really in the dumps for quite a while, although we had a couple, you know, beginning of winter kind of went up a bit, but then it just kind of collapsed and it's under $3 now. You wonder how they make any money at this.
Well, it's a wild rise. It goes up and down by 20%. So you really have to know what your price targets are. Mm-hmm. And I still think it can go down to the low 200s.
Really? Wow. Yeah, that's kind of shocking there. So, but on the other hand, oil, at least up until now, oil's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, in oil there is a new, we were short from 64 and a half, and we covered around 57, 58, don't remember. And soon we're going long again because the cycle is bottoming. Now, for people who don't follow us, it sounds a bit strange, but it's based on the fact that certain things happen at certain times and you simply cannot change it. So if a cycle is down, I'm not talking about the price targets, how we calculate the price targets up and down for crude. But when a cycle is down, crude goes down. And when a cycle is up, crude goes up. So in a couple of days, crude should start going up again.
Uh-huh. And we're thinking, what kind of highs do you think it's going to put in at this point?
I did not calculate it. I guess around the 70s, but I didn't calculate it yet. I mean, there's so much things we have to do. Once we go long crude, we start calculating the price target.
Mm-hmm. So the scenario that you're predicting, so gold is going to be going down till after the summer. Dollars up. Is that going to reverse after the summer? The dollar going
to start? That's a longer term. That could take a year and a half of a strong dollar.
Uh-huh, year to a year and a half. And gold is going to go up in spite of a strong dollar then?
Yeah, could be in spite. I mean, people ask me about how it's possible. Well, the scenarios that I don't really think are going to happen. For instance, if you get a war scenario, and gold goes up and a dollar goes up. So the situations where the both go up.
And it happens from time to time where there's some kind of banking shock or something like that, and you'll see a lot of money could come to the U.S. from overseas, and you will see the price of gold go up because safe haven, you know, risk off trading. So, hey, you know, a lot of people who are listening to you right now, you're from Canada, Canadian dollar. Right now, you're saying it's kind of rangeless, you know, trendless, I should say. What are your thoughts on that? If the U.S. dollar is going up, it's taking the Canadian dollar down, isn't it?
Yeah, but like I wrote, it's such a long trading range of between 124 and 126. I cannot get any price targets. So again, you know, if you go to Charles Nenner Research Center, you ask for the research, you can try it out for a long period for free because I like to be exact. And once we see something Canadian dollar, it will be in there. By the way, we also have a Twitter account intraday. So we come up intraday with the levels of the S&P. And that is Twitter Nenner Research or at Nenner Research. Get a couple of updates during the day on the S&P, also sometimes on the bonds, on the euro, because market is so hectic. So we were requested and we put an intraday Twitter.
All right, cool. And we'll definitely take a look at that. We'll post it in the show notes. So stock markets, you know, they kind of look like they're range bound right now. They're not heading higher. We're going to see them, according to what you're saying, probably go down a bit?
I think they can go down one more time. And anyway, we went out a couple of weeks ago totally. I think we have seen the high, even if we test it one more time. But I think there's a lot of danger in the markets. And people misunderstand because the media don't give them the right information. I don't know if you saw it. 2 weeks ago, I heard all these pundits saying, well, the economy looks good. The unemployment is low. It's good for the stock market. So what I did is I made a chart. Yeah. And it was so every time that the unemployment was around 4%, there was a market crash. So it's exactly the other way around. But they continue to say all these things that unemployment is low and it's good for the stock market. So don't think the economy is good and it's going to be good for the stock market, because the clever people who bought 10 years ago knew already that now the economy would be good. So it doesn't go up twice. So the people who knew that are going to sell now because they anticipated what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And if you bought 10 years ago, you've basically quadrupled your money if you just stayed in it. But there are still ways to profit handsomely from the volatility that no doubt we're seeing. I mean, we watch the volatility index for all of 2017, and that is an index that I watch review every month, and it was stuck like at 10, 11. It even went below 10. Now, you know, in one short week it went to 51, and then it kind of went back down to 21. Now it's at 20. But so do you make money in this market playing the volatility index, or are you better off going elsewhere?
Well, I think, listen, when the volatility was 9, I told people go long volatility. It cannot go much below 9. So what's the risk over here? Some time decay. You have to watch the cycles because nobody knows when the volatility goes up and down. Only when the cycle pushes the volatility up, the VIX up, then you buy. And that's the only way to play it. I mean, there may be different ways, which I don't understand and which I don't know, but we do it very scientifically.
Right. So we're looking for a low in the VIX in the next day or two.
And right.
So what about the international markets? Are they going to go kind of parallel to the U.S. stock markets? Or
They always go parallel to the stock market. I've never seen European markets go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like we're all in it together now, right?
Yeah.
Economies as well, right?
Yeah, they all take the clue from the United States.
Yeah. So for the time being, the dollar is king in the U.S. economy, regardless how big China might have gotten over the past couple of decades. It's still a U.S. dominated world economically anyway for now and militarily.
Yeah, but we're getting close to the end of the upswing. So I don't think the economy is going to hold much after 2018.
Right. So you think you don't really look at that. You look at the cycles, but there's big tax cut for businesses and that doesn't have the ability to prolong the cycle at all?
No, I don't think so, because that's already in the price.
Yeah.
I mean, I always tell people, if you know something nobody knows, you have an advantage. But if you know somebody that everybody knows, it doesn't help you.
It could be a disadvantage because you think it's more important than it really is. Hey, of all the statistics, and you've been watching markets for so many years, of all the statistics that the business press throws out, what is the least useful statistics that they're always touting and getting in a tizzy over?
Well, we talked about unemployment. The other one is the consumer confidence. Because the higher the consumer confidence, the closer we get to a high in the stock market. So don't think, oh, the consumer confidence is positive and it's good for the stock market. No, when it crosses a certain level, that's very negative for the stock market.
It means you're getting close to a peak and it can
right.
only go down from there. You know, I'm reminded, and I've mentioned it on the show many times, probably heard, Bernard Baruch's immortal words, I got rich letting the other guy make the last 10% profit.
Right.
So we're seeing really getting close to the top on a number of the indicators that you follow.
Well, I have this interesting story that I wrote it even the research. For the last 20 years, I got 3 clients that if I say, let's get out of stocks, and then the media say we go higher, 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 they can't handle it anymore. So they stop the subscription. And every time after the crash, they come back. Well, I tell you, they came back already.
So they're a great contrarian indicator, huh?
Right, great. Yeah.
Same with the people who are selling off their gold and silver right now, who are tearing their hair out because, you know, they're hardcore hard money people, gold bugs, if you will, silver bugs. So maybe it's a good time to be buying when they're selling, huh?
Yeah, usually. But we have the cycle, so we can exactly say when to buy and what level to buy.
So it just makes you a little more comfortable to see the external validation before you pull the trigger, even though the cycles are telling you one thing. And then, you know, everybody, I mean, I guess at this point, you've been doing it for so many years, you feel pretty confident in the cycle predictions, but right, it's for others, you need you don't have that security. And you know, what's the best way to play this here when you feel like you don't have the confidence to really get in, but you feel that, you know, the forecast is valid?
You mean our forecast or in general?
Yeah, in general, but your forecast.
In general, I have no idea how people invest. I asked them when they were buying the stock market at $26,000. I said, why are you buying? All the indicators that I show you are negative. You know, it's too expensive. Yeah, but they're still buying. So I don't know what you guys are doing. I mean, do it if you're successful. But what we tell people is once you take the research, don't trade on it for the first 2 months because you have to learn the subject in order not to make mistakes. So you first watch it, and then after 2 months, you can start using it.
A paper trade for the first couple of months, get a comfort level, and then and then go in slowly. You don't have to get rich in a day, right? I mean, it doesn't work that way, although that call on the VIX, you could have like added substantial upside to your portfolio's value. It was such a great call. I mean, from the 13th to like 2 weeks ago, you know, it was the 13th of December. I think the VIX closed the month at 13 and change, closed January at 13 and change. So, you know, it was just a world-class call. Well, hey, so we can go over to Nenner, charlesnenner.com. And,
correct. Ask for the research. Watch me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that will help you through the volatile times.
All right. And it's at Nenner Research for the Twitter handle. Hey, don't forget, send us an email if you got a question for Dr. Nenner. We'd love to hear it. KL at Carrie Lutz is the email. KL at CarrieLutz.com. That's the email. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Got an interesting thing today, an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal called The Rise of the Jumbo Student Loan, Dr. Nenner. People going $50,000 to $250,000 into HOC for an education that who knows?
That's the next threat. The student situation with the loans is the next crash.
Yeah, hey, and auto loans and home loans and everything's been reflated, all the bubbles, right?
Right, but especially the situation with the student loans is unbearable.
Yeah, yep, agreed. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming on and joining us. And
you're welcome.
We'll watch it. And don't forget, go over to charlesnenner.com. Get that research for free. Dr. Nenner, it's always a pleasure.
Be well. Bye-bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.